Hello, how you doing? I'm Craig Parkinson. You are listening to the Two Shot Podcast. Sit yourself down, pop the kettle on. We're going to have a nice old chat. Who's it with this week? I'm going to tell you right now. Hello, welcome. This is the Two Shot Podcast. You've downloaded, you've subscribed. Hopefully, you've subscribed. If you haven't, hit the subscribe button now. And what else you want to do? You want to get onto Twitter, Instagram. It's at Two Shot Pod. Join us on there. You'll get exclusive photographs, videos. We'll probably let you know who's coming up next week before anybody else. Find us on Facebook. That's a good way to keep in touch. Also, if you want to keep in touch, drop us an email. It's twoshotpod@gmail.com. Where am I this week? I'll tell you where I am. I'm just outside of Oldham in the lovely countryside, having a nice sit-down chat and a cup of tea with William Ash.
The first taste of rare bourbon you finally got your hands on. That's nice. At Caskers.com, we make this experience easy. Caskers is a one-stop spirit curator with an impressive selection of exclusive, sought-after, rare, and household names in the realm of premium spirits and champagne. Discover the top flavors of the year now by going to Caskers.com and using code WELCOME10 for $10 off your first purchase. Get $10 off your first purchase with code WELCOME10 at Caskers.com.
Do you ever look out that window and imagine sort of three men in a bathtub? So, cause when I was driving down it, because I was coming from the city, I was going, oh yeah, well, I thought you said he lived in the countryside. It's not really very countryside. And then I turn a corner.
Oh, it does, yeah.
And
it all opens up.
You're walking onto the set of Last of the Summer Wine.
Yeah, yeah.
Which, for those people listening who don't know what Last of the Summer Wine is, it was a sitcom that ran for 500 bloody episodes, and it was mainly about three old men who sat in a bathtub.
It's a shame it's finished. We'd be in the right demographic to
we're
be in
up for it now,
yeah,
aren't we? Now, here I am, sat. That lovely Mancunian voice that you hear is Will Ash. He's invited us into his home. We're going to sit down and have a nice cup of tea. Will, how are you, mate?
I'm all right, yeah, I'm good.
Good. When you were growing up, acting,
yeah,
wasn't the first thing you wanted to do, was it?
No. I wanted to be a footballer.
Did you?
Yeah.
Was that from an early age? Was that always something that was a massive passion for you?
That was all I wanted to do. And I started acting by going to Oldham Theatre Workshop, which was it was a council run thing.
What age was that?
That was, when did I start going there? I started going there when I was about nine. Yeah, eight or nine.
And was that the age they kind of accepted kids, or did they have
I think eight was like the youngest. You had to do like a 6-week course, in inverted commas, and then you were kind of accepted. Everyone was accepted, though. You did like this 6-week course, but it was free. That was the big thing. So,
and that was all council run?
It was council run. I think it was supposed to be tied in with the schools. So I think they got money from education, but it was kind of a really independent place. Now it'd cost you money to go. In fact, I think it is still going now.
But it's not a subsidised thing.
It's not subsidised. It's, and kids have to pay to go. So I started going. I started going there just as something to do, really. Just as I quite enjoyed drama.
Did someone steer you into that position, or did you think?
No, I remember a friend of my dad's, who my dad played football with, his son, who was about 3 years older than me, he was in a show. He was in Bugsy Malone that they did, and they did it at the Tameside Theatre in Ashton. And I went to see it, and I remember thinking, oh, wow, this is brilliant. And he was like, yeah, you can come along, you know what I mean? You can be in these shows that they were doing. And it was all, you know, all singing, all dancing, a lot of them. It wasn't kind of, it was tended to be musicals that they put on. They did do some kind of
straight, probably because of the amount of people that they are, they went, right, we'll stick them all in all the musical. On stage. At least everybody get to go on stage and have a bit of an experience.
Yeah, that's exactly what it was. It was, and as well, because the membership of the amount of kids that went, because it was free, was just, you know, it was, they'd have like 1,000 kids on stage. And it was the only way to get everybody involved. But I remember going watching that show and being really, really impressed with it and thinking it was brilliant.
And was that the first time you thought, oh, I think I could get up and do something like
yeah,
that?
Yeah, yeah. I mean, I think when I was younger, I was a bit, maybe I still am, I could be a bit overconfident, I think, and a bit gobby when I was really like little. So yeah, it was kind of quite natural for me to think, yeah, I'd like to have a go at that. And my sister as well. So me and my sister went together, but it was just fun. It was never something I didn't want to do it because I was obsessed with football.
Still at that age, at 8?
So yeah. I just wanted to play for Man United. That's all I wanted to do. And as well, because as a kid, my dad played semi-pro football. So I followed him. I was with him at weekends. And he played on a Saturday, and then he played for a really good pub team on a Sunday. So I just used to spend my weekends with my dad going round to, like, you know, on different coaches, going to watch him play football all over the Northwest anyway.
And when did the football stuff start to fall by the wayside?
So we had a really, really good school football team. And when I was in secondary school, and there was... I think there was probably about 8 of the lads on our school football team when we'd finished our GCSEs who signed with clubs. So it all went, you know, went off and playing it. And I didn't. And I'd not got into I was kind of in the Oldham schools team. And most of the lads off our school football team all went on to that. So I was kind of going, right, well, I'm not as good as them. I was always quite small as well, still am. But, So the alarm bells were ringing a little bit, and my dad was up. My dad, because he played at a really good level, had always said, look, it's really hard to make a career out of being a footballer. Even the lads, you know, who'd signed these professional forms, none of them had ended up making it as professional footballers. None of them, you know, managed to earn a living from doing that. So the kind of the alarm bells were going off a little bit, thinking, right, this is just a dream, this, to become a footballer. You know, there's so many sacrifices as well you've got to make to now if I want to pursue that when I was 16. But also, I started playing open age when I was 16, and I broke my leg.
Sorry, what's that? I know nothing about football, right. And I'm sure there's loads of people that don't. What's open age?
So you play, like, you know, under 14s, under 15s, under 16s.
Right.
And then you start playing against men.
Okay.
16, 17 is when you kind of, you know, start playing against that. Or certainly older lads anyway, maybe youth teams. So it'd be maybe an under 21s team. So you're playing against blokes then. And I started doing that. And actually not the first season, the second season, the first game of the season, I broke my leg playing football. And so I didn't play football for like nearly a full year, which I'd played every single weekend.
So that probably seemed like a lifetime
break. And as well, my head was then turned a little bit because I'd gone to Oldham Theatre Workshop and was kind of putting on plays. But that was, it was a brilliant place to go to, don't get me wrong, and loads of actors have all come through there. So like Anna Friel went there, most of the cast of Coronation Street went there. Do you know? So it was a great place for opportunities, a great place to learn. But it wasn't really my kind of theatre that they were doing, because it was all singing, all dancing. I'm not a great singer, I'm not a great dancer, but I did enjoy being on stage, you know what I mean, performing a little bit. But then what happened when I broke my leg, I was in the sixth form at my school, and there was a teacher there called Colin Snell, and he had a theatre, well, he used to put on a lot of plays, where they formed a theatre group with Matthew Dunster, to my school, Paul Hilton, Nicola Stevenson. So it was, it was comprehensive, but they had this, you know, amazing kind of drama group that they'd set up outside school. So I started doing plays with them.
So this was an extracurricular, as outside of school hours, was it?
They were putting, totally independent of the school. But just the nature of the plays that they put on, you know, plays that weren't typical school plays. Do you know what I mean? So they were doing kind of stuff like, we did Bent, and we did East, and we did, you know, Amadeus. So not kind of your typical school plays. But when I was in the sixth form, for that year, I just did loads of plays with them. And I already had an agent then, like a kind of a kid's acting agent. And that was my... So I already had a foot in the door, and I thought, well, maybe I could do this. Maybe this is something that I should pursue.
Sorry, where? Just going back a minute. Yeah. Where did the acting agent come about? What age did you get that, and how did that come about?
So that started at Oldham Theatre Workshop. Basically, there was thousands of kids that went there. And then there was kind of an agent attached to it, right, to Oldham Theatre Workshop.
Right, okay.
A bit dodgy, really, I think now, because my parents and everybody else's parents don't know the world of what an agent is and what, you know, they're representing you and they're sending you for auditions and, you know, this, you know, how much your percentage, they get a percentage of your wage. It was just suddenly...
Thrust
upon us, yeah, yeah. But everyone went with it because it was kind of all kids and was like, oh, we might be on the telly.
Right,
do you know what I mean? But what used to happen because of Oldham Theatre Workshop and because Granada, which, you know, was still going then at the time, they used to basically come to Oldham Theatre Workshop to cast all their kids' dramas that they were doing. So, like, you know, like children's wards, you know. They made so much kids' drama there at the time. And, you know, they made, you know, Cracker from there and Prime Suspects. Most of the kids that are in them programmes all came from Oldham Theatre Workshop because the casting director could go there for a day, maybe 2 days, and cast an entire programme, you know, with the children. But, they, you know, so there was this agent that was attached to that. So I kind of had this agent thrust upon me, really. Yeah. But I wasn't complaining at the time. But it was a bit, now when I look back, I go, well...
I would have liked the opportunity to hang up, tell me what this is all about.
What before. It's all about, yeah. It was all a bit fuzzy about all that stuff.
And with the workshop...
Yeah.
You say, you know, you were doing all the big musical and not doing the plays that you wanted to do. Were you... taught anything about audition technique or
no,
or anything about television?
Not at all. You were just kind of, the big thing that you were taught there, well, the big lesson that I learned from going there was the kind of the discipline of doing the job, of learning your lines,
turning up on
being
time.
On time, being committed,
yeah,
all that stuff. It was brilliant for that. The guy who ran it, David Johnson, he's kind of quite, you know, famous in the Northwest for, you know, he's still got an acting school now in Manchester, and he was brilliant. But he was, because he'd have like 400 kids in a room, and we were terrified of him. So, you know, more so than any, you know, your scariest teacher. He'd everybody be silent in there. So it was, in one respect, it was amazing. But in terms of, you know, for want of a better word, the craft of acting and technique and stuff like that, personally, I didn't learn that much there, really. And you know, and we're saying that...
But I suppose they didn't really have the time or the resources to go into it in depth anyway, because, you know, the amount of people that were there, yeah, no one can get that attention that they need.
Yeah, well, exactly. So it was kind of just kind of get on with it. And what it did teach me, actually, probably subconsciously, is that watching other people, seeing how they do it, and then just picking things up and going, oh, right, that's a good way of doing it.
But that's brilliant, because you learned that so young and you're still probably doing that
today. I do. That's all I do.
Yeah.
That is all I do. So it was amazing in that respect. And when I was saying about, you know, we were doing musicals, it wasn't then at the time that I was thinking, I'm not really getting a lot from this. It's only kind of now that I go, actually, I wanted something else. When we were doing all them kind of shows, I wanted, you know, I think I was looking for something else. That's why it wasn't satisfying enough.
Did you know what it was at the time, or you were going, yeah, I appreciate this and this is fun, but this isn't the area I want to go down?
Yeah, it was just that it was fun. It wasn't that fulfilling, I'd say. I had a good time, but it wasn't...
There wasn't much passion for
it. Not really, no. But it was only like later when I did the plays with, you know, the group outside school, with Colin Snell and with, you know, Matthew Dunster and all that lot. That's when I went, ah, right, this is it. This is much better.
So the penny dropped then.
Yeah, yeah. That's when I started to go, oh, I really, really like this. And actually, I could do this forever. I could do this try and do this forever if I want.
And did you think about... When did the football come back? Did you think about that and worry but if I don't go down the football route, I'll never know? Or were you resigned to the fact that...
I figured out that I wouldn't make it as a footballer. Right. I think that was the thing as well. Like, you know, there was other lads who were... I got to a certain level of playing, and then I'd play in games where I was going, right, that game's just passed me by now because they're so much better. And even these lads haven't made it. So I put it to bed a little bit. And it was fine. It was all right. I wasn't that bothered, you know. And as well, I started going out a bit more, you know, like with mates. The commitment kind of... to it, which you've got to have, kind of waned. So, yeah.
And then girls come into play, and then
a bit of that, yeah.
So after that, you started doing these plays outside of school. So what age are we now? Are we 15, 16?
Yeah, 16, 17.
16, 17.
It was sixth form. Right. I remember, so I kind of, you know, had a car as well and was a bit more independent. And we did a production of East. That's what we did, and we did like a mini tour. Around, like, so we did it at Bury College, we did it over at Bretton Hall, we did it at Abraham Moss Centre.
And whose idea was it to do that?
Well, it was at my old teacher, who was now my friend, Colin Snell, that's what he did. He took things all over. He used to take, well, every year now he still takes plays up to Edinburgh.
How brilliant that you had someone with that much passion and insight to go, right, come on. Because there wasn't load of you, was there? How many was there?
No, well... Then I think Matthew and Paul Hilton, they were all, had gone to drama school or maybe even left because they're about 6 or 7 years older than me. They might have all left drama school then and were trying to, you know, forge a career. So these were other people that had just come into the group. But there'd probably be, when we did East, there was only four or five of us, I think, doing this kind of mini tour, as it were. And we weren't doing, I think we were doing every night. And I just remember it, but I remember that in particular, it being brilliant because... just going to these different places and putting on these plays. And I thought they were good as well. It was being part of something that I was kind of quite proud of. And I think, and that it was quite, people were, maybe they weren't, but it felt like people were impressed by what we were doing and were enjoying it. And that felt great. And we'd kind of go for the different place. I remember going for a drink most nights with the people who'd come to see the play and talking about it. And I remember thinking, this is good. And you know, that was at the right age, I suppose,
to appreciate it more.
Yeah, yeah.
Now, just jumping back in time, because we know he touched on the Asian being thrust upon and all that.
Yeah.
And you did mention a show that I know you were in, because you were in Children's Ward, weren't you?
Yeah, I was in Children's Ward.
How did you find that, being on a TV set so young and having no real... idea of how that machine type of works?
Well, it feels like I've always known how that works. And I think even then, it was just... it felt a bit like a youth club doing that job. It just felt like a bit of fun because it was all kids on it. We had... I think we filmed it for probably 2 or 3 months in Granada, in a studio. So it was all kids. We'd have a tutor there, and the tutor would... so we'd have to do so many hours of schooling every day. It's probably about an hour and a half we'd have to do every day, was the kind of legal obligation. But in terms of how it actually worked, I don't really remember feeling confused by any of it or overawed by any of it. Because I think the first job I'd done, I did Sherlock Holmes with Jeremy Brett, where I did one, I did like two scenes with him. And that was when I was probably about 10. And me and my mum went down to Great Yarmouth to do it. Because I was so young, I just picked it up. I wasn't overawed by it. I wasn't intimidated by it in any way. I just kind of got on with it and did it. And then, so by the time I was doing Children's Ward, I was kind of a little bit au fait with it. Because I did a TV series called Making Out as well. I think I did that before Children's Ward. And so I think I probably learned on there, but it was never, it just felt very natural. I think when you're that young, you just kind of get on with it. You know, you're not kind of analysing it. You know, these people are putting down marks for you where you've got to stand, or, you know, you've got the director coming up to you telling you how to do something different. You just kind of go, oh, okay. You just listen to what everyone's saying.
And did you feel at that age that you were picking up on stuff and learning stuff, or as you say, it was kind of like fun because it was a youth club atmosphere?
I didn't think I was learning anything. I must admit, I just felt like, just certainly, the, I mean, the technical side of it when I'm saying that, not so much the acting side of it, but the technical side of just being on a set, I was just like, right, well, this is what this world is. And, you know, when you're that young, I think you just, it just kind of, you just absorb it.
And probably because you're so open, so, you know, most kids are just so open and they just want to play and just be in that moment.
I remember getting told off quite a lot on Children's World because we were messing about. I remember that. I remember one time they got us all into a room and really told us off. I remember that because I think that it was just a bit of a laugh. You know,
I do remember watching it.
Do you?
When I was a kid and going, God, that hospital looks like a laugh.
Yeah.
I think I want to try and get my leg broken. I'd love to go in there. But I do remember thinking at the time, because I was like mad passionate about acting even when I was young. So I was always wanting to learn off these lot.
Yeah.
And I remember thinking that everybody was a very natural level.
Yeah.
But then when one person was acting in a different style, it did used to ping out.
Ping out, you know what I mean? You'd see it. Yeah, yeah. Yeah. I'm just thinking back now, even when I was doing that job, I had no idea that it was going to be a career, that's what I was going to do. Because I still then, even then, I wanted to play football.
Yeah.
You know, it wasn't, so I had no ambition to kind of pursue this. So it was even more fun. It wasn't even like I had to go, right, I've got to, you know, learn and behave here now. It was just like, have fun. And I think that's probably the best way. I think it was good that it was like that.
Well, that's probably a good bit of advice to give to a kid who's going into acting, is just
have fun.
Just have some fun.
Yeah, I mean, sometimes you get like people coming up, I'm sure you have it, like parents of kids going, oh, I want, what, you know, my son wants to get into acting, you know. And if they're really young, I just say, you know, well, join either a local drama group or a local theatre group or one of these, you know, I know there's a lot of kind of stage schools now. But the main thing is just enjoy it. Don't put yourself under any pressure about wanting to be on the TV. Because it's such a big thing when you're young. I think I'm sure it's the same now. But I know when I was young, being on the telly was massive. It was like, wow.
Yeah.
I remember the first time when I was doing Sherlock Holmes, I was like, wow, this is amazing. I remember thinking, this is really exciting.
Well, in a way, it's kind of otherworldly, isn't it?
Cause yeah.
You're as a family, you're as a unit, you sit down, you have your tea and everybody puts the telly on and that's the other world. You know, something like Coronation Street, Weatherfield is another world.
Yeah.
And then if you know somebody in it.
Somebody in it. I remember being at Granada when I was a kid and do you remember Elton Wellesby? He was the sports presenter.
Yeah.
I remember waiting for an audition to go in. He might have even been for Children's Ward at Granada waiting to go in and Elton Wellesby coming out and me being with my mum going, wow, just proper blown away. Really, really excited. Yeah, yeah. And Tony Wilson coming out and my mum going, oh, look at him. And he had a pair of white trainers on with his suit. My mum went, what's he got on?
Fancy coming to work dressed like that. Trendsetter.
Yeah.
So jumping ahead now, so you've done this little mini tour with Colin Snell and you've gone to Bretton Hall and all that. And what age were you, say, 17-ish?
I was 17, yeah. And then,
so were you doing your A-levels?
I was doing my A-levels, at the same time. Yeah. That's all that was going on. Because I hadn't picked drama as well. You know what I mean?
So what were you doing in your A-levels?
I was doing sociology, Spanish and English lit. And Colin Snell, he was my English lit teacher, but he also used to teach drama. And he was like, why aren't you doing, why have you not picked drama? And I was so stubborn at that time. That's when I was 15, 16. So stubborn because I want to be a footballer. There's no point in me doing drama. There's no point. Now I think I'd have had a great time if I'd have took people's advice. And I think even my mum and dad were going, well, there's no harm in doing it. You can, you know, you're good at it. That's debatable. But, you know, you can do it. So why not take that as one of your options? Why not do it as an A-level? And I was just like, no, because I'm not going to be. I don't want to do that. I want to be a footballer.
still at that age, you were still going, no, it's still fun.
Still, yeah.
Mm. So how did the A-levels turn out?
I was lazy. I did really well in my GCSEs. And then when I did my A-levels, I was just so, now when I look back, I was so kind of cocky and just thought I knew it all. You know, I think a lot of people do it.
I think most people are like that.
And I didn't put the work in. Lazy. So sociology, I did well because I could do it. I got an A for sociology, but for Spanish and English lit, I got a D. And I remember, but for both of them, and I remember being I remember getting the results and being absolutely gutted. I was like, oh. And I knew why it was. I knew when I was going to pick him up, I thought this could go, you know, really, either really bad or quite bad. And it was, you know, quite bad. But I remember as soon as I saw him, I just thought, it's my own fault. Straight away, it wasn't like, how has that happened? I knew, I was like, I just didn't put the work in.
So what next then? When did it go? Do you know what? I think I really need to seek out some training.
So it was my drama teacher, Colin, was saying, yeah. You know, I think it'd benefit you if you went to drama school, but you don't have to go right away. It's totally up to you. But he was the one who put that idea in my head about going to drama school. But he was saying, he said to me, have a year out after you finish your A-levels, and we can carry on doing plays, or, you know, you can go and do, you know, you do whatever, you go travelling, go and do whatever you want, because he'd have, like, Matthew Dunster, Paul Lilton, you know, Nicholas Stevens, and all these people that had all gone off to drama school, they hadn't gone straight away. I think Matthew ended up working at the Water Board, North West Water, and, you know, they couldn't get in at first. So drama teacher was quite keen on me just saying, you know, you don't put yourself under pressure like you have to get into drama school.
Especially at 18, it's a very funny age, especially for a lad.
Yeah, it's all tricky. I mean,
you're still trying to work out who you are.
Yeah.
So how can you say, well, this is what I really want, to somebody who doesn't know you, when you don't know who you are?
Yeah, and I was like, I didn't know. I still wasn't kind of fully committed to going, right, yeah, let's do this as a career. I'll do this as a job. I want to be an actor.
Still, even at 18?
Even at 18, I was still like that. So what I did was, when I finished, I'd applied. I think I did deferred entry, so you, like, you know, so for the year after for university, I'd applied to for a sociology course at Nottingham, where I got accepted, and I think I got accepted at Manchester, and I was thinking about journalism because I enjoyed writing. I was even thinking sports journalism. I'd written a bit for I'd written on the school newspaper doing sports stuff.
God, so the sports was still, candle yeah, was still burning was still bright, there. Wasn't it?
Yeah. And then what happened was, I got a job. So I still had this agent in Manchester that was kind of a kid's agent. And I thought, right, well, if I do want to do this, then I've got to get an agent in London who looks after adults, or an agent in Manchester who looks after adults, but I can't stay with that agent anymore. And I did a job, this thing called the Bare Necessities, that was like an ITV one-off drama. And what it was the Full Monty before the Full Monty had even been thought of.
Oh, really?
So it was about a load of, this was about miners. So that, you know, all the pit, you know, their pit had closed, and they formed this, you know, it was the same as Full Monty, formed this group of strippers. And I was like, I was 17, 18. So I was like the son of one of the miners who was stripping, and I ended up stripping in it, my character. But what happened was, when they had the screening of that, it was down in London. And I said to the casting director, who's just passed away, actually, Doreen Jones, who was brilliant. I said to her, look, I am thinking, you know, maybe doing this as a you know, going into to be an actor. I'm still kind of in two minds. And she said at the screening, she said, well, Lou Coulson, who is was Sandra Vaux's agent, who was also in it, she said she thought you were very good. You should go and have a meeting with her. So I did. So I went and had a meeting with Lou Coulson, and I said to her, I said, I've applied to do journalism. Sociology at university, so I might even still go and do that, but it was in a year's time. So I said, I've got like 12 months, and I said, but I also might apply for drama schools for the year after.
Yeah.
But I want to see how this 12 months goes. And she went, totally fine, whatever you want to do, because, you know, I was young and I was just didn't know my own mind. She said, whatever you want to do, she said, we'll represent you for however long you want, 12 months or whatever, if you want to go off to drama school, we can even carry on representing you then. It's totally up to you. So she was absolutely brilliant.
Do you think, in a way, for that year out that you took before whichever path you were going to go down,
yeah,
you went into doing some auditions and things like that, maybe to rule it out that acting wasn't for you? Or because...
Yeah, maybe. I don't... I don't know. I was just, again, it was still, it was fun as well. There wasn't any pressure. There was no pressure.
You still found it fun?
I still found it fun. Yeah, there was no, when I was going, because they then started putting me up for auditions, and I was like, I was just going into them thinking, there's no, I don't have to get these jobs.
No pressure.
It doesn't matter.
Yeah.
It doesn't matter. I can, if I don't get it, it's kind of, it is, it, yeah, I think it is. It, then it is proof that it's not meant to be this, and I can go off to university and do whatever I want to do. But I applied to a couple, I did audition them in that year for a couple of drama schools, and I, but again, I was a bit lazy. I remember being like, not lazy. I was a bit stubborn again, because I was like, well, I'm not going to London.
I'm a northerner.
I'm a northerner. Yeah. I'm not going to London to go to drama school. So I applied at for Hull, which was more of an academic course.
Right.
I applied for Manchester Met. That was just a drama course. And, Bretton Hall. So I only, I think I got accepted at Hull because it was an academic course. I don't think you had to audition there. And I auditioned for Man Met, and I auditioned for Bretton Hall. And I think Bretton Hall asked me to go for a recall. No, they offered me a place, Bretton Hall, and I didn't go. And I just said no. And Man Met, I didn't even get a recall for. But at that, in that year out, so while I was going for them auditions, I was getting work. And I just, I thought, you know what, I don't need to go, but I might have another year out.
And see how that goes. Yeah. This one's been successful.
This one's been all right. I was getting jobs. But one of the reasons why I was getting jobs, I think, because there wasn't much competition out there in terms of volume of competition, because everyone was going to drama school. So there was, you know, there was people.
For that age group.
For that age group, there wasn't that many. There was young actors out there, but there wasn't as many as there was when I was, say, 25, when everyone's come out of drama school and we're all kind of, you know, fighting for elbow room a bit more. So.
And it was still fun.
Even though it was still fun,
obviously you took it seriously. I'm not trying to say that, but it was fun. But were you learning stuff? Did you feel, well, if I'm going to take this year out, and I'm deciding, and then you're thinking, oh, this is going well, maybe I'll take another year out. Did you feel, as you said, this is a bit like training? Were you learning you were going on?
I really consciously started watching people, I think, when I did.
Right, so there was a turning there point.
Was, yeah, that was kind of probably when I did that Bare Necessities. That's when I suddenly went, right, but because I became aware of people, of like the director saying, oh, that was a good take. Not to me, to other actors saying, oh, that was a good take, or that was... Oh, that was right. No, don't. That's not quite right. Let's go again. It's not something. And I was going, right. So there's, whereas before it was like everything you do is good because you're acting. It's good. It's all good. But then, you know, that was definite mark changing going, all right. So some things work better than others. There might not be any, there's different choices. There might not be wrong choices, but some things, you know, work better.
So you consciously pushed your antennae up to... Oh,
yeah. And I remember then I did the first time when I did a job in London, when I was 18, and I went, it was a TV job, and I had to get accommodated. I lived in a house with this girl that we found in the BBC newspaper, Ariel. We got that, and me and my mum looked for adverts of places to stay, and I stayed there for like 3 months in White City. And I remember doing that. There was a thing called Beck. It was actually one series of it with Amanda Redmond. And I really remember watching everyone on that, especially watching her, because she was so professional and so on it. And other actors who came in, and watching that. But a big thing that I did, I remember, because I was in London for 3 months, and this put me off London actually for a long time. I was in London for 3 months. I was 18. It was kind of winter. Didn't know anybody. All the other actors who were in it were older than me. Probably about 7 or 8 years. But they felt like adults, where I still felt like a kid. And there was no mobile phone, so I wasn't really in touch with the, you know, there was nobody like you could text and go, do you fancy meeting? And I didn't really know anybody. There was only the actor Kieran O'Brien, and I only vaguely knew him. I knew he lived in London, but I never met up with him. So what I did was I went to see, because I lived up the road from the Bush Theatre, I went to see every play that was on in them 3 months at the Bush Theatre, I went to see loads of plays in the West End, loads of stuff.
When you could afford to.
Yeah, exactly. It wasn't that expensive. I remember seeing Trainspotting, because Trainspotting, the film, was coming out, but it was on at the, what was the old Trafalgar, it was the Whitehall Theatre,
that's now right, Trafalgar
Studios. I remember seeing that. But David Eldridge's play, what was it called? I can't remember. You know, stuff, really good stuff. And what I'm going to the Bush and seeing John Simmons stuff and Eddie Marsan and Neil Stook. And seeing them as older actors going, wow, these are brilliant. This is brilliant. Really, really good. In that little... And I remember that being weird, going to the Bush and going, what, this is a theatre? It was like, it's as big as, you know, the living room, innit?
Yeah.
And go, but then being up so close to them. And because I didn't have anybody else to go out with or nothing else to do, I think if I would have done, I'd have probably gone out getting drunk every night with people. But I didn't. I just went to see loads of, I saw nearly every film that was on.
So you were starting to feed your passion more and more.
More. I absolutely was. And I bought loads of books. And the theatre thing was, it was a conscious decision, because I thought, I'm probably not going to go to drama school now.
But still, I'm probably not going to go, but just to rule it out.
Yeah, still kind of holding on to it. But I did think... I definitely knew that. I was aware enough to know that I'm at an advantage in that everyone's going to drama school having a theatre training, but they're not, they come out and they don't know anything about doing television, really.
But did you consciously make a thought to go, I'm going to start my theatre training here by going to see the current people at work?
No, it was more about, I'm probably not going to go. I don't know. I'm probably not going to go to drama school now. So I'm going to get as much, you know, take in as much just by watching and reading. I remember I bought all the Stanislavski books and all that. I remember buying that. And
did you read them?
Yeah, couldn't really make head nor tail of them, to be honest with you, because I think just... trying to read them at that age anyway, it felt really dense, and I thought, this is why people go to drama school, because just by doing it, it takes out all that kind of, you know, how heavy it can read. But that was definitely a decision, because I thought, I'm at an advantage to all these kids who are at drama school now. You know, you're going to come out and, you know, I might sound a bit clinical, but they're going to be competition in 4 years' time, because they're all going to be up for the same job.
Oh, well, yeah.
So now it's time. So I must have been thinking, and I thought, right, this is kind of a foot in the door. But I just read loads and watched loads. It was before the internet as well, you know, so you just kind of... Now I'd probably just... I mean, I'm not on Facebook, but I probably would be if I was a kid now. Do you know what I mean? You just sit in your room on Facebook all night, wouldn't you?
Yeah.
Whereas I went out to... I'm trying to think...
How incredible at that age that you could afford to go and see... Because everything was probably like £10. Or maybe even
cheaper. I think it was cheaper. I think it was about £6 at the Bush.
I mean, it's just...
And you give you like a little... I think it was like... The ticket was like almost like... I think it was like a little raffle ticket or like a little white receipt and rain or something like that. Yeah. Yeah, it was all... I remember it being cheap. I mean, I did have a bit of... Not loads of money in my pocket, but I was getting paid for the TV job I was doing, and I had no outgoings because I lived at home with my mum and dad. Actually, no, of course I had outgoings. I was paying the rent at this house.
In London?
Yeah, but I think they'd give me subsistence on the job in the days when they gave you subsistence. So I did, you know, so I could afford to go out and do things, but it was cheap. It wasn't like, it was nothing like what it is now.
So we're getting towards the end of that, your year out, you're still deciding what's going to happen. What happened at the end of that year?
I don't really remember, to be honest, but I think I forgot about it then. It was like, right, this is what I'm doing now.
I just carried on doing it.
Yeah. Then I was like, right, I'm going to work now. This is what it is. And I think, God, I'm so naive in a way, because it's such a big decision, you know, as a commitment to being an actor and to going, right, this, all my eggs are in this basket now. I'm not going to go off into university or get a trade or do any of that stuff. I'm going to do this now.
So did you consciously go, I'm not going to have a plan B?
Yeah.
Or did you think, or was it, well, I've gone down this path so far now, I don't really feel like reversing and trying to find something else.
Yeah, I think so. And I was doing all right. I was working, I was getting jobs, and I thought, well, you know, naively, I thought, well, this must be how it works.
Was it still fun at this point?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Such a crucial thing.
It didn't stop. It didn't stop being fun for me. And it doesn't, you know, it's not, most of the time it's fun and it's good and I love it until you're out of work.
Yeah.
Isn't it? It's them periods where you're like, you know, I had a period where I did nearly a year where I didn't get any work and I worked for mates. Because I was still living at home as well.
Oh, you'd gone back home?
Yeah, I never moved to London.
So after that year...
Yeah.
Then you went back.
Well, I was never in London.
Oh, yeah, 3 months.
I was there for 3 months.
Yeah.
And I'm trying to think what other jobs I did after that. I can't really remember. Did I do all the King's Men after that? 19.
But I know you did. Really. I know you went into what was a very popular show at the time, which was Where the Heart Is.
Oh, I did Where the Heart
Is. Which was, for people who don't know what it was a big, correct me if I'm wrong, but it was a Sunday night...
Yeah,
big drama set in the lakes, was it?
No, set up the road from here.
Oh, set up the road from where we are now.
Literally, yeah, it's set about 10 miles away up the road in Slawit. It's called Marsden.
Marsden.
Yeah.
And it was a big show, wasn't it? The drawing was big audience.
Yeah, it was massive, yeah. I mean, I think it was like second in the ratings behind EastEnders it was huge.
Right, so of its time, you're talking maybe 10 million viewers, something like that.
It was like 16, 17 million viewers.
Wow, that's crazy.
Yeah. I'm sure it was definitely up there. It was a big series.
And you only did two series of that,
didn't
you?
I did two series. What happened was, that was it. After that Beck, I'd always lived at home. I still live with my mum and dad. So I did a series called Born to Run that they did in Manchester. Kind of coming in and out of it, but earning money. And then I got off. I remember I was doing Born to Run and I literally finished it and went and auditioned for Where the Heart Is and got that job. And it all, yeah, I don't. So I don't remember it feeling difficult when now the reality is I know that it's difficult. It's not an easy job, you know, to go into. So Where the Heart Is, they filmed. I was still living at home. We did two series of it. So I had no, you know, financial commitments or anything like that. So I thought, this is quite easy. I think that was going back to your question about your other question about, did you feel, you know, kind of daunted by, you know, doing it, and because I was working, yeah, no, not
but you stopped doing that very popular show because it wasn't the type of show that you wanted to do, was
well,
it? Or certainly what you wanted to put all your energies into.
I was my agent was brilliant, Lou Coulson. She said, so when I got the job, they said they want to option you for a second series, but we don't want them to option you. And she said, because you should be free to go and do other things. She was very much of that thinking, being available. They can't do that. Now it's kind of common.
So for those who don't know what optioning is, it's basically that the company that hires you will say, we want you to do three series.
Yeah.
Now, we can terminate your contract at any point, but you can't get out of it. So you're basically locked in unless the channel doesn't want it or something else happens.
Yeah.
That's correct.
And they lock in what your pay will be as well. They give you like a, I think it's like, what is it?
For however many years.
Yes. Yeah, 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 yeah. Yeah. So
your agent didn't want me to get locked in with that option.
Yeah, and I did. I had to get locked in with it. So at the back of my mind, I was thinking, right, this isn't... I don't want to be locked into anything here, really. So at the back of my mind, she kind of planted that seed that, you know, you should be available for the work. She had confidence in me that I could go and get work elsewhere. But I remember then when I did the second series, in my head, I was thinking, I don't want to do a third one because I want to do something else. I'm being an actor because I love it and I want to do a variety of different things. And I was young. You know, I was 19.
Right.
I was thinking, and I can do other things because I've been working. It's been great. You know what I mean? And so, I don't want to do it. Had it been now, it might be, a different story because I've got a mortgage and stuff like that. I've got kids and stuff. So the financial implications come in. But at that age, it was absolutely the right thing to go and do because you've got no responsibilities whatsoever. I just wanted to do a variety of work. I'd done it for two two series, so 3 months each, probably 3-4 months each. And it was great. I had a brilliant, brilliant time on it. And but I just, but I'd done it.
Yeah.
That's how I felt. I'd done it, you know.
I suppose, and over that time, of you not knowing if this was the right path for you, suddenly it all becomes, no, this is the right thing I want to do.
Yeah.
So you had a lot of ambition and a lot of passion, and you wanted to try lots of different things and not get, you know, anchored down to one particular type of part.
And it as well, because it can be quite dangerous, because then I was aware of that, of going, you could end up start relying on this money now. If I could buy a big car, and you know what I mean, and then I've, you know, got to pay for the insurance on that every year, and or make, you know, with the money, maybe, you know, move out of my mum and dad's house and go and do all that, and then I've got finance obligations. So don't do it. It's, you know, kind of stay free.
Yeah.
And it was definitely the right thing to do. I don't think I got a job off the back of it, coming off the back of it, but then I don't think I worked for a long time afterwards. And I remember my mum and dad kind of going, you know, maybe you should have stayed in that, maybe, you know, for a bit of financial stability. But I remember myself just thinking, that doesn't matter about, I'm not bothered about that.
Well, I don't think anybody goes into this industry
for financial stability. No.
Did you ever think at any point, oh, maybe I should go back and go to drama school or anything like that?
Not by that point then, because I kind of wore it as a badge of honour a little bit as well. You know, I still do, I must admit, because I know some people who haven't gone to drama school who are, you know, who are actors.
I know loads.
Who go, but some of them who go, I always feel like I should have gone, and still a nagging sense, do you know, that they should have gone, and can feel a little bit intimidated by other people that have, that they haven't, don't have that theatre training. But I used to, because it marks you out as a little bit different if you've not been, or if, you know, not been able to go or whatever. It just gives you, you know, a bit of, right, if everyone's been trained a certain way.
But there's going to be loads of people, you know, probably some people listen to this that maybe want to go but aren't able to.
Not able to go.
How lucky were you that you got that break at the Oldham Workshop and started your training
when I was a kid, so I didn't even think about it. There's so much now that when I'm on a set and I'll do some, or somebody will ask you a question, and you go, God, I automatically know the answer to that. I don't know how I know the answer to it, but just do.
Maybe because you were there.
Just technical things, like, you know, I don't know, just yeah.
But you were there having fun, and as you say, you know, all these children are sponges.
Yeah,
and just kind of goes in.
Yeah, soak everything up.
I mean, so do you think, in this day and age, when it is, training is so expensive, and in a way it's becoming a bit elitist, because, you know, those days of the grants, they're, that's game over. Do you think it is essential now to go to drama school and find your training?
No. I mean, I think it can be a brilliant thing. I think for as a foot in the door, as a way in for kids, if you can afford it, then it's great. But I think there's so much emphasis placed on it being the only way, and it's really not the only way.
Yeah.
Now you watch, you know, a lot of telly and a lot of the best young actors, you watch them, they haven't been to drama school. They might have done some kind of training where they've been part of drama groups, or they've been, you know, part of like kind of Oldham Theatre Workshop type places. Brilliant actor, Vicky McClaw, didn't go, as far as I know.
No, well, we had a brilliant chat with Vicky on the first episode of the podcast.
Yeah.
And she went down a very different route.
Yeah, didn't do it. You know, Jack O'Connell, I don't think, has gone. He was amazing. I think Stephen Graham didn't, well, I think he got kicked out, but he didn't go. He didn't do the full course, do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Loads of, you know, fantastic actors. You watch, you go, you know, we were talking about that programme, Three Girls, that was on last night, and the three young girls that were in it, I think they're too young to have gone, but they can do it.
Yeah.
They so believable, so truthful. You can't kind of teach that. Do you know what I mean? I don't think you can... That rawness and that honesty that's in their performances, you can't teach it. I think what it can do is drama school. It can take that, and it can give you other techniques that might be able to help you out of if you're stuck.
And you can be taught other things, and you can grow, and you go, how about this? You might not use it now, but you might use it in a few years' time.
Yeah. So I'd... But for me, I mean, it's tricky, isn't it? Because Oldham Theatre Workshop, when I went there, it was free. If it hadn't been free, I don't know if my mum and dad would have been able to afford to send me, and my sister as well. You know what I mean? Because we would both wanted to go, or maybe they would have found, you know, ways of paying for it. And I think now everything has got a cost when it comes to young kids with drama, because you can make money out of it. People make money out of it. I'm not saying that in a cynical way, that, you know, they've got things to run, but nothing's funded in that way anymore. There's a lot of actors from Oldham, or people acting who went to Oldham Theatre Workshop. That's not because Oldham's a hotbed of acting talent. Let's say with Nottingham, you know, all them, you know, Samantha Morton and all the kids who are in, you know, This Is England. It's not because Nottingham's, but it's just because they've had opportunity.
And they've got an outlet.
It's there where they can, you know, it's a brilliant place where they can go. And, I mean, is Nottingham free? Is the Nottingham Theatre?
I don't know if it still is now, but... you know, they had to jump through the hoops. They had to audition to get in. And right. It wasn't just like audition, everybody gets in blanket. Right. They were strict.
Right.
And every year, and if you didn't turn up, she used to say, you're out on your ear.
Yeah.
You know, it was like proper training. You're on time. You're being professional from the off.
See, that's invaluable, that being kind of that, like, just well, it's the basics.
It's funny, nearly everyone that I've spoke to at the moment, they've all said one thing, you know, being on time.
Yeah. Yeah, I think it's
being up for it, being polite, being a good sport, being a good team member. Yeah. You know, those things are across the board.
Yeah, very it's a huge important. Part of it on in theatre and on set. You know, it's like probably 60% of it. But whether it, I don't think it's the be all and end all going to drama school. I think.
I suppose you've just got to find what's available to you in your area.
Yeah.
And if there isn't anything, make something.
Yeah, you can do it yourself. Yeah.
Make something yourself. Get together with other people.
Yeah.
Because every place has got a community.
Mm.
And even if you have to look under the rocks and stones, they'll be there. And there might even be two or three more people that have got a little bit of passion like you. I mean, look at you, Will. It took you ages
to figure it out.
Yeah.
Mm.
I know some people that have wanted to do something like this from the word dot, you know. Yeah. Some people aren't like that. It takes time to figure out what route you're going to go down.
Yeah.
And you do need a support network.
Mm.
Luckily, I know your parents were very supportive of you, weren't they?
They were, fantastic. Yeah, really, really good. But just because this thing now, they're like, you know, with these working class kids... It's so expensive to go. That's the London thing as well. It's so London-centric. To go and up sticks and to find accommodation in London and then to pay for all your courses and stuff like that, you leave with, like, what, 30, 40 grand's worth of debt before you've even kicked off?
Well, I remember, and, you know, it's 20 years since I graduated this year, but I remember a fair amount of people on graduation having been there for 3 years. Right, pack the bags and move back. Now, whether that be up north, whether that be Scotland, Sweden, America.
Yeah.
They're going back. So in a way, what they've just been doing for 3 years is a bit redundant.
Yeah. You've got, I think if you're going into it, then that commitment has got to be there for, you've got to stay in the lines. Then that's where it's all going on.
Yeah.
You know, it's moving out a little bit, but not when you're first starting out. It's all your meetings are down there and kind of, you know. All the, you know, the amount of theatre. There's a lot of theatre in Manchester, good theatre, but there's only three or four theatres. London, how many is there? You know, there's stuff to go and see. Great stuff. I'm, you know, really gutted a lot of the time. Like, I read reviews and stuff. Things that I want to go and see, plays that I want to go and see, and just can't.
I think the one thing that I've really enjoyed talking to you about is that when you were down in London for that 3 months because you were working, and I know that nowadays it's not as easy to go, get to the theatre, try and watch theatre, and watch brilliant actors that you respect and that you admire, that you can try and learn from.
Yeah.
But I suppose if you can afford to do that, get to wherever. And also, the great thing is now, there's lots of touring plays that go around. So they go out to the regional theatres, which are, of course, a lot cheaper than, you know, who can afford going into the West End?
Yeah.
It's ridiculous.
Yeah.
But that's a lovely bit of advice.
It was invaluable, really. But like, you know, and as well seeing people that were just only about 2 or 3 years older than me being brilliant and kind of going, wow, that's some performance, that, you know, and seeing that. So, you know, like John Simon, what's the guy who's in, he's in EastEnders now, he's got red hair, Jake something or other, Jake Wood, he was brilliant. Absolutely brilliant. I can't remember what the play was called, but it was him and Eddie Marsan, and they were brilliant. Amazing. Yeah.
Well, it's been brilliant talking to you. Oh, thanks, man. So much, man.
Thank you.
What do you think of that, William Ash? He is a cracker. What a good... I mean, I love being up north, and it's brilliant to meet genuine... professional northerner, William Ash. Did he enjoy it? Wasn't he lovely? Great bloke. This is all panning out very well, these podcasts. Do you think so? He's nodding his head. Producer Griff, he's nodding his head. I want to thank Producer Griff, because as much as you hear me on the mic, the stuff that goes on behind the scenes, all the technical stuff, I don't know bugger all about that. That's the man. So this is a two-shot pod, but it's a two-man pod, if you like. But also, I want to thank you. I really do. Thanks for subscribing. What? What do you mean you don't subscribe? Hit subscribe now, right? Do it. While you're there, give us 5 stars. Write a nice review. Spread the word. Spread the love out there. The two-shot pod. At Two Shot Pod, you say? Yeah, follow us on Twitter. At Two Shot Pod, follow us on Instagram. The Two Shot Podcast, search for it on Facebook, right? And also, how's about this? We're all on email now. twoshotpod@gmail.com. Drop us a line. Tell us now what you think. Maybe you think, oh, Craig, I would love you to have a chat with so-and-so. I might be able to get them on. Yeah? Do it. Or... yeah, actually, don't say anything nasty. Just send nice things. Spread the love. I also want to spread the love to the splicing block. What is it? You don't know? Go on to it. Google splicingblock.com. Show them some love too. I've been Craig Parkinson. This has been the Two Shot Podcast. I will see you next week, yeah? Remember, subscribe. Over and out. Ta-ta. The Two Shot Podcast is presented by me, Craig Parkinson, recorded and produced by Thomas Griffin for Splicing Block. Our music, our brilliant music, is courtesy of Then Thickens. Cheers.